Hello and welcome to this edition of the Presbyterian Podcast. My name is Gethin Russell-Jones. This one is different for a couple of reasons. Firstly, and for the first time, it's available both as a video podcast and as an audio podcast. And secondly, it's focused on the newly launched Manipur Appeal. We'll be hearing from someone who is part of the Manipur diaspora community living here in the UK, before learning about a beautiful custom called a handful of rice. And I'm indebted to the Reverend Gwyn Fadhach for this video.
My name is Sharon Singson-Evans. I'm a doctor in the NHS. I'm a consultant psychiatrist. I work in a hospital in Birmingham, looking after, the wards in one of the busy psychiatric hospitals. I've lived in Birmingham now for many, many years. I've been in the UK for 30 years now. My connection to Manipur is that in Manipur, there are three main communities. The Meitei community, which is the majority. They form over 50% of the population. And then two other communities, tribal communities. These are the Naga people and the Kukizo community, which I belong to. We form roughly about, 18-19% of the total population in Manipur. So I was born in Manipur. My parents lived there and my grandparents as well. But I lived outside of Manipur for a majority of my life and had my some bit of my early education, primary schooling in Manipur, but the rest of my secondary education and medical college education was in Delhi, New Delhi, which is the capital of India. And from there on, then I came to the UK back in 1995. And I lived in Birmingham because my husband, Rob Evans, who is from Newport, South Wales, we met at our training. He's a doctor as well. We met at our psychiatric training in Birmingham and we got married and we've raised our family here since. So that's a bit of my background.
Bless you. Well, welcome, Sharon. It's great to have you with us again. You mentioned the diaspora, the scattered community of Manipur people now living in the UK. And I know when this unbelievable kind of upheaval happened in May 2023, and so many Kukizo people, and I guess Naga people, just had to flee for their lives. Many of whom are now refugees in neighbouring countries. I know that a prayer became a vital part of a connection with each other, but God and with the Presbyterians. I wonder if you could tell a little bit about how prayer has formed this diaspora, if you like, in the last couple of years.
Yes. So when the conflict began in May 2023, the community that was affected was the Kukizo community. Although there were other tribal groups, we were the community that was targeted. And just in terms of the background, we are, a majority of our community are Christians. They profess the Christian faith of various denominations, but, are mainly professing Christian faith. We do have some, other who profess Judaism and all that, but the majority are Christians. And the church would have been a central to the community, whether they were in the big towns or in little villages, wherever they were. And most of the community lived in the hill areas in Manipur. So the church would have been very, very the primary kind of get together, not just for worship, but for every kind of community gathering. And worship is a central part of our community life. If you ever had a chance years ago to come and encounter our Christmas gatherings and all, you would have known it was not just a Christmas day. It would be throughout the week, where worship would be taking place every day. So, it forms part of our life. So I think that was greatly, greatly affected because there were over 360 churches and synagogues, which were burnt down and destroyed. Now, I just want to add here that the churches, obviously, it was the Kukizo churches that were targeted, but also just to add that even among the Métis community, there are Christians and their churches were targeted by their own community. So I just want to make that clear. So in a way, the target was to us as a community, but it was also an extension to the Christian community, amongst the Métis population. Yeah. So I suppose there was a lot of immediate needs were the physical health needs and all those medical health needs because thousands of people were displaced. They had their villages were burnt down, so they couldn't go back to those villages because they were at those places were not secure. So they had to come to the hill areas which are predominantly occupied by the Kukizo areas. So they have lived in relief camps through well now coming to nearly 2 years. And what that meant is that they have lost not only their homes, but also their local churches. And whilst there are arrangements by the receiving community where the relief camps are to help them with their spiritual needs, there is definitely a gap there because people are going through very miserable feelings and despair and being despondent, and so there is a huge gap there. And whilst we were experiencing this here in the diaspora, far away, unable to help, around autumn of 2023 is when I came across a Zoom link for prayer for the Kukizo people, and it was a link which was from the Presbyterian Church of Wales. And I can't remember exactly how I came across that. I think it was posted in one of our chat groups. And so I decided that, because I had been praying at that time, not just I, when I say I'm talking about my people in the diaspora, we had been praying, we had had, little sort of gatherings and all. And we had tried to raise the awareness and the profile of the ethnic kind of cleansing kind of events that were taking place in Manipur through our various local churches and all, but we didn't have any link to a particular kind of Christian organization, apart from our some link that we have with the Church of England through one of our vicars. So we've got a couple of vicars in our community who belong to the Church of England. So through them, we had had some kind of raising awareness and all. But this was outside of what we knew. So it came as a very pleasant surprise, I have to say. And I knew then it was something that was a seed that was being given to us by God, So I'm part of that and I'm very blessed. And I think the community now know that the seed that was kind of sown in through this group, prayer fellowship group, might be a little mustard seed to begin with, but it's now growing, and like a tree that sort of offers shade and shelter to all those who come. It is offering comfort to us, and we know by extension that it's offering comfort to our people back in Manipur. Yes, we continue to meet every week, and and I think from this grew this fundraising appeal, and we are very grateful. We are very grateful to be kind of cho chosen to be receiving this kind of campaign, and having looked at the previous campaigns that the Presbyterian Church have done, and have blessed many other people from other nations, we feel that this is such a great blessing, and our being here is not a coincidence.
Sharon, I'm also mindful that towards the end of January this year, 2025, there was a prayer, an in-person prayer meeting in London where members of the diaspora came together. I guess some were already living in London, others came, like you, came from further afield, and you met with other people from the Presbyterian Church of Wales. I guess that must have been quite a moving encounter, particularly as I know, as you heard that day, that the work in India and in that part of India was is very close to the, it came out of Welsh missionary work back in the 19th century. So there's a very close bond between Northeast India and Wales. I wonder what that meeting was like, at which you were present.
We were very honored to have with us on the 25th of January, and this was in the context of Nan having visited Mizoram very recently in December 2024, and she was accompanied by our very own Zofate sister, Reverend Rebecca Lalbiaksangi, who has been a great support to the my community, in my diaspora here. The Zofate community in UK have been supporting us from the start of the conflict as well in various ways. So very grateful to them. Now, on the day that we met, that was in London in East Ham, we met at the church, St. George Church, which is where one of our community vicar, Reverend David Howcap, is the vicar of that church. But we also had the presence of our other sort of vicars or clergies, ministers from our community. We've got two other people. So Reverend Mung Hadzell is a Baptist minister working in Milton Keynes, and also Reverend Kailen Kongsai, who is an Anglican, newly ordained, and he's got his new church in London. And he Kailen has been part of the Friday weekly prayer as well whenever he gets to come and join us. So those were they were involved in helping organize the meeting, along with the committee members of the Kuki worship service and the the diaspora members who were able to attend. So we were very honored to have the presence of Nan and Hugh, and of course Miriam, who lives in locally and is involved with the Presbyterian Church ministry among the youth. And also we had Joanna Thomas Wright and her husband and their young son. And so we were very pleased. We had at least six people from the Presbyterian community join us for worship, fellowship, and a meal together. So yes, that was very that was a great honor for us. And obviously, In a way, although our recent, or my own, or our community's recent connection, let's put it this way, reconnection to the Presbyterian Church of Wales has kind of, in the recent times, have evolved because of the mayhem that we've suffered and all. But we did take time to remember how this link that we have with the WPC goes back over 100 years. And so that makes us reflect that the rekindling of a connection is not a random thing, it hasn't just come out of, something that, that's been thrown in the air. There's something about this rekindling. There is a physical rekindling, but there's also emotional and a spiritual rekindling. And that tells us, how we are one body in Christ. Wherever we may be, we are one body, one spirit, and we have one calling, which is for the glory of God. And so we thank those people who had come, the early missionaries who came with great faith. They were going to places where, I think many people would not go now, with so many kind of risky encounters that's likely. But they went out in faith. They stepped out in faith. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they set off from Wales to carry the good news of the gospel of Christ to not just to Manipur, but to the areas in the northeast of India, and also to Myanmar, and just to remember that my Kukizo community, we have our community in Myanmar as well, the Chin Kukizo community in Myanmar. So this good news was carried to them, and because of their work, the hearts and minds of my community back then were opened to receive the good news of Christ. And so that's been passed down to generations, to the local people, not just to the Kukizo community, but to the other tribal community, and even reaching to the Meitei communities and all. So, and that just reminds me of what Jesus said to his disciples, you start in Jerusalem, and they were not very much loved in Jerusalem at that time, if we remember, You start in Jerusalem, you go out to Samaria, where they were not very much loved either, because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. And then you step out, and gradually their footsteps enlarge and they reached worldwide, So I think that's the kind of calling your community, the Presbyterian community, have received from that time. And although we are now here, I suppose, in the UK, you are reaching out to us and extending the same kind of, love and generosity and grace and mercy. And we are very happy to receive that.
Kitchen here. My auntie here is, that's our rice.
Rice.
Auntie Mary.
Hello, Auntie Mary.
And her daughter,
Hello.
My cousin, that's Nelly.
Hi.
You can see the
Hi,
resemblance,
Nelly.
maybe. So we're going to have food with them. So they've been busy cooking, and then I'm just pretending I'm helping them at the moment. But look at that, what we're going to have. This is dal. We cook rice. Traditionally, Mizo people eat rice twice a day, which is morning and evening. So, so when the missionaries came, they started this, which is called Wu Fai Cham. It's a handful of rice. And with the women, when they start to cook rice, and they used to put aside in a Wu Fai Cham box for the charity, so that it will be collected and then be sold to poor people in a cheaper price, so that people can eat rice. So it's a great way of showing your love, your neighbors. And so, but I think my cousin will be able to explain what she's doing. So let's have a look.
Okay, so we are going to cook a meal for our family, and then we usually do it two times a day. In the olden times, we usually take a handful of rice and put it inside this container, which is written Bu Fai Cham, Lal Pa Chan Puar. And we do this usually because we take it together and then we give it to the church so that they could sell it. But these days we usually give a cup of rice, put it inside the Bu Fai Cham container, and then we cook our own rice, sometimes two cups, depending on the family, how big the family is. And then we give a share of this rice to the church so that they can sell it. We measure it with this cup. This is one full cup. One, two, seven cups.
And this is Bu Fai Cham Kon Nabu. It is a book where we used to take, we used to write the amount of rice that each member of the house put it here. So this is for Mary as well. Just rewrite seven here. So we are here at Mission Vang Church Hall, where they sell all the handful of rice. And Mission Vang Church is my local church. And Pitei, Mizo people call her Pitei, but her Welsh name is Miss Gwen Roberts. She is the one who is involved in this handful of rice, and she wrote a wonderful piece in her book as well. And it's Pitei's home church as well here in Mizoram.
Every day, in the morning and evening, every family worship God by this giving Bu Fai Cham to the again dedicated Bu Fai Cham container. Then every Sunday, these collectors, 676, they collected rice, and that they put in that boxes. Then Monday morning, we sell it to the church people. Then at the end of the month, we submitted in the search committee. Then they submitted again to the Mizoram Synod.
So we might use, you sell this rice to people. How much does it cost?
It costs 15 rupees per kg.
Per kg. So is that cheaper from the market?
Yes, yes. 50% cheaper from the market because even the from the retail price now it's 30 rupees per kg.
Only half of the price. So in that way, the women's ministry is that you sell it very cheap so that everyone can afford it.
Yes, yes, yes.
But can afford it.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us in this podcast. If you liked it, please review it wherever you found it. And we'll see you again very soon. Poor Bendith, God bless.